Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If your business needs a new application, then developers will have to write code. A lot of code. If an application needs to be modernized, then you'll need time, resources, and caffeine. If that sounds daunting, then you need Watson X Code Assistant, AI designed to multiply developer productivity so you can generate code quickly. Let's create a more modern foundation for business with Watson X Code Assistant. Learn more at ibm.com/codeassistant. IBM. Let's create.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of the best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Bredestein Pinza AT. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, and suspension, just to name a few. Everything you need to elevate your drive. You can go to TireRack.com/Dan. That's TireRack.com/Dan. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
During the summertime when the weather gets hot, I can only imagine how much time you plan to spend outside with friends and family or on your couch with that AC blasting. AT&T 5G and home internet keeps you connected, whether you're at home or on the go, so you can stay connected to your loved ones and to your favorite things. Whether you're sharing pics from the best rooftops, video calling your friends from an outdoor concert, or streaming your favorite show, episode after episode after episode. So connect at home or on the move with AT&T 5G and home internet and create memories and more all summer long. AT&T 5G requires compatible plan and device. Coverage not available everywhere. Learn more at att.com/5G for you.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
On the next episode of Expeditiously.
Please, everybody, welcome Mr. Tyler Perry.
What's up?
What's going on, bro?
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And your meteoric rise, man, to success has not come without some level of criticism.
Some? You know, you being polite.
Tyler Perry in the next episode of Expeditiously with T.I.
My sacrifice comes on the end because it's part of my catalog.
Okay.
So that's where my value is. It's not, I'm not making the money up front. It's in the long game, right? So if you go in and you're looking for the bag, then great. You go buy your Bentley, your Rolls Royce, great. That's all.
It's over with.
That's wonderful. You had it, but then what you've done is signed it all away.
Right.
They own you. And they're never going to give you an opportunity to be in that position again.
Don't miss the next episode of Expeditiously with special guest Tyler Perry.
The episode drops Thursday, March 19th.
Expeditiously with T.I.
Now available on Spotify, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.
Is Madea really dead?
That's it, man. I'm done.
Broadcasting from the Mercedes Man Cave, this is Dan Patrick.
Welcome to the program on this Thursday, final hour, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. We've covered a lot of ground today. We've talked some March Madness. Today would have been the opening round. Our poll question, if you've got to watch only one, the Super Bowl or the first 4 days of the tournament, which would you pick? McLovin, update the poll results from the first 2 hours.
Basically, 70% said they'd rather watch a tournament rather than the Super Bowl.
Yeah, a little recency bias and the fact that you would be making excuses to stay out of work. You don't need to make excuses to stay out of work. Final hour coming up, 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com. I also watched the Christian Laettner documentary last night, and I, you know, kind of stumbled on the topic, and people have picked up on it. Best tournament basketball game of all time, and I said that Kentucky-Duke game that Laettner hit the shot in. That's, to me, the greatest basketball game, tournament game, that I've ever seen. And people brought in some other ones. You know, you've had NC State at the buzzer against North Carolina, or North Carolina State against Houston. I didn't think that was a great game. I think that was a great coaching clinic put on by Jim Valvano. And with no shot clock going against Phi Slamma Jamma, Jim Valvano outcoached Guy Lewis to win a national championship. But it was a great play at the end. And that's why, you know, Leitner's play at the end, it's a great play. And a lot of times we think a great game is a great ending. But that was back and forth. Kentucky had no business staying with Duke because that was a great Duke team. But give credit. You had, you know, Jamal Mashburn and a cast of characters there. And you had a great coach and Rick Pitino going against Mike Krzyzewski and Duke. But that was a great game. I think it was 104-103 in overtime. But there have been a lot of games. You know, when Bird and Magic played, that wasn't a great game. Indiana State did not play a great game. Bird didn't play a great game either. Michigan State was the better team. But that was a signature moment for college basketball. Like the modern era of college basketball where we ushered in Magic and Bird and you put them on opposite coast and they would meet, you know, for a couple of championships there. But I still think UCLA, Houston, 1968 in the Astrodome. To me, that's the most important basketball game of all time because they actually showed that in prime time, which was unheard of back then. Yeah, Paul.
If you go back 3 years ago when UMBC, they're the 16 seed and they beat number one seed Virginia, I always thought what hurts that game legacy-wise, long-term-wise, is that it wasn't a close game. I think it was a 20-point loss. The second half was kind of a, oh, by the way, Virginia was handled by UMBC.
Oh, yeah.
That game, it needed to be a buzzer beater or a close game or overtime to make it more legendary. And that's why Loyola got more attention. Loyola Chicago got more attention for their run than UMBC got for their 16 seed win.
Yeah, you look at, you know, some of these finishes, and that doesn't make it a great game. Yeah, you know, when UConn played Syracuse in that, what was that, 7-overtime game? Was it Eric Diefendorf?
Yeah.
He hit a shot that would have won the game, and then they went back and reviewed. Remember he jumped up on the scorer's table? And they went back and reviewed it, and they said, he didn't get it off in time. And they continued to play deep into the night. Some phone calls here coming up, final hour. By the way, we are going to have our Meet Madness brackets ready for you on Monday. We'll get ready that you'll vote on this on the website at danpatrick.com. Mario's done a great job. We have 32 songs that made the bracket, but I'm told that we will have a play-in game tomorrow. Two songs, and one will get into the big bracket, the big dance, as they like to say. So that'll be tomorrow, and the audience will be voting on this. We just had a one seed where we had a take on Notorious B.I.G., and that's probably going to make it in as a one seed. Some phone calls here. Let me get to Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind today?
Hey, what's going on, Dan? I'm trying to make sure that I don't need to jump off the balcony real quick. First of all, you get rid of Darius Slay, gone.
Yep.
Then you pick up, you know, your first move in free agency is to give a backup lineman $50 million. I'm trying to figure out, you know, it seems like they're on their way to finding the banana peel right before the third pick and just slipping on it and coming out the wrong end of it. My question to you is this. What would be the worst or how could they mess it up? Because I can see, you know, Chase falling to us. I'm hoping that'll happen. But in your opinion, you know, what would be worst-case scenario for the third pick for Detroit?
Oh, well, you might take a defensive back. you know, if you're Detroit, do you take a wide receiver that high? You know, they need help. So I don't know if you can sit there and go, boy, we're going to find all the answers. If I'm Detroit, you know, do I trade out of that? Can I get somebody who wants to come up there? Because somebody's going to go up and get either Tua, Herbert, or Love. I get that feeling. Somebody is going up. Question is, how high can you go up? And I think that's the interesting part of this is who's desperate enough to go up there and get one of these quarterbacks? McLevin, do you have a new poll question?
Yeah, I have an option. Today is the first day of tournament. If you were going to fill out your brackets, if I gave you the top eight teams, who are you going to have as a champion? Or is that an unfair question? Right
That's
now?
Unfair. I just said that, and thank you, McLevin. By the way, McLevin joining us via Skype, so we've had some technical issues all morning long, so we apologize for that. But I wanted the brackets released just, you know, and I know people say, oh, that's you know, that hurts even more if you're Dayton or San Diego State. I'd be curious what those brackets look like. That's all. And then it would give us some things to talk about here with college basketball and what could have been. I mean, it's not college basketball's fault, you know, but it would allow us to talk about the sport. And this time of the year, you know, we want to talk about the sport. And that would be a fun thing to just go, what if? And look, I didn't have my last season taken away from me because, you know, of what happened like these kids did. But I don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority, but I'm thinking, yeah, it'd be great. It'd be great to see it. Yeah, Paulie.
It goes back to if I played for Dayton or one of those schools that was up there, I would do anything. Play in a summer league, play in a pickup game, just film anything. Get a bunch of Duke guys and Dayton guys together and play a game and just
can't get together.
Get a charity involved.
Yeah. I'd love to see Dayton play Kansas. Or San Diego State gets in there and then somebody else. We can host it here in our man cave. No fans, just like for the AUAA. By the way, tonight at 7 Eastern, the championship game of the American Unathletic Association of America. And we're waiting. We're going to have season 2 of the AUAA, but probably a little bit later on as we get closer to the summer. Brett in North Carolina joins us. Hey, Brett, what's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Dan.
Morning, Brett.
I just wanted to chime in. My senior year at Indiana University, 1987, Keith Smart hit the shot against Syracuse, and I hope Paulie kind of has my back and gives me a little bit of props on that.
All right, yeah, that was a great moment. But we're looking at, you know, there were great games is what I talked about with Duke and Kentucky. Great moments, we've had a lot of those in the tournament. But I was just talking about the greatest game that I ever saw. And, you know, with the storylines with Kentucky and Duke, I would say that was. When Bird played Magic, it wasn't a great game. It was an important game, but it wasn't a great game. Tommy in Florida joins us. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, man. 6'1", 185. Mm-hmm. Great show, DP.
Thanks.
But the three games that jumped out to me, and I was not a Duke fan, but they were all Duke games. I agree with you that Duke-Kentucky, by far, all the way through, start to finish, was fantastic. There were two more. Duke-UNLV, when they beat UNLV the year after they got destroyed by UNLV, was a great game all the way through. And then one was a regular season game, and it was when Duke went and I didn't watch the – I know these are all on the Leitner thing, but when Duke went into – I actually remember watching this game. When Duke went into Michigan – to play the Fab Five in the regular season, that was an edge-of-your-seat game, and I think it went into, like, a couple overtimes, if I'm not mistaken, or it was a buzzer beater or something like that.
All right. Thank you, Tommy. Yeah, that was a big deal when Duke took on the Fab Five. You know, it was the establishment against the anti-establishment, and that was a big deal. I don't think it was a buzzer beater. Can you guys look on Michigan when Duke went in there and played, when Leitner was there?
Oh, in the regular season?
Yeah.
That was, I think it went overtime and Michigan lost in overtime.
Yeah. I remember Michigan lost.
Not a buzzer beater.
No. And then Michigan lost in the tournament.
They lost, I think, 77-71 to UNC.
Yeah.
In the tournament.
Yeah.
In the final game.
Let's see. A couple other phone calls here. Brian in Texas. Hey, Brian, what do you have for me today?
.214.
Brian, do you forget how much you weigh?
No. Sorry. All right, 6'2", 214.
There you go.
Sorry. I was distracted for a second. Listen, certainly not the greatest game ever played, but the most significant game and the most important game ever played was 54 years ago today, March 19th, 1966, Texas Western over Kentucky.
I would put it up there. I understand what you're saying. The significance of an all-black starting five and taking on, you know, that was the establishment with the anti-establishment where, Don Haskins started starting five was black. Kentucky was all white. That was very significant. You know, it's like when USC played Alabama in football at Alabama, and all of a sudden Bear Bryant went, I think I need to get some African-American players down here. Because he saw what USC had, and, that changed. That helped change the SEC and college football. But Texas Western, that was a significant game as well. Like, there's three of them now. Prime time, the UCLA-Houston game, and then prior to that, Texas Western against Kentucky, and then Bird Magic. Those were all very important games. I'm with you on that, and that's a great call. Dave in Dayton joins us. Hey, Dave in Dayton, how are you?
Hey, how's it going today, Dan?
Good, sir.
5'10", 190. I would sort of a great game that I remember that sort of gets forgotten was the '89 championship run by Michigan over Seton Hall. That was a back and forth game, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but didn't Michigan get some help there in that game? Feels like right, Seton. Yeah. Right, Seton O'Connor.
The lamest foul call of all time.
Yeah. Thank you, Dave. Thank you for ruining Seton for the final hour of the show.
John Clockerty.
Yeah. Keep your head up.
Murray's crying. Like, and my dad going, "It's only a game. It's just a game." He's trying to. We're all, me and like my brother, my mom and dad, everybody. We're all like, "Oh, I'm so sorry. It's only a game."
Your middle name is Seton after Seton Hall.
Yeah, he was just trying to be like calm about everything. Like, no, it's cool. Don't worry about it. We're all bawling. But I'm so sorry. It's only a game.
Can you imagine there's some little kid in Ann Arbor named Ted Wolverine Smith on the other side of that, you know?
But his your brother's middle name is Rutgers, right?
Oh, my gosh. Could you imagine?
David.
Yeah. David Rutger.
Yeah, David Rutgers.
Yeah.
Rutgers Howard O'Connor.
Right.
Let me see. Some more phone calls coming up. There's some interesting notes here on what the Bears have done with Nick Foles. You know, there's the really good Nick Foles, and then there's really questionable Nick Foles. But the Bears, that gives you an idea that, where the Bears are with Mitchell Trubisky. You know, he's suffered a broken collarbone for the second time since 2014, and he's behind an offensive line that struggled in 2019. He doesn't get a whole lot of time to throw behind that offensive line, according to Pro Football Focus, less than 2.5 seconds. He was great for a little while with the Eagles, won the Super Bowl, but in 16 starts outside of Philadelphia, split between the Rams, Chiefs, and Jags, Nick Foles is 5-11, 12 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. When he's good, he's really good. And when he's not, it could be trouble. But if that's your answer there, and maybe you're just getting a guy who's a better game manager than Mitchell Trubisky. Maybe that's all this is about. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reporting the Chargers not expected to pursue a veteran quarterback after missing out on Tom Brady. I guess Brady said to Tampa and the Chargers, this is what I want. I want to have a two-year deal, and I want it to be for $60 million, and I want to have a role in personnel decisions. If you're the Chargers, how do you let Tom Brady get off the phone without agreeing to a deal? Unless he just wanted them as leverage, but you were going to get that from either team. Both teams have already said, hey, we understood what the parameters were, and everybody was amenable to this. There are reports of this that both had the same offer, and Brady decided to take Tampa instead of the Chargers. But if you're the Chargers, I just think you got to say, I know that's what Tampa's offering you. What will it take? We want to know. Tell us what you want, and we'll give it to you. Yes, he.
But don't you think there's probably a little bit of a mental game with the Chargers saying, well, we have to get rid of Rivers because he's too old. I mean, he's 38 now, but we're going to upgrade with the 42-year-old Tom Brady.
But do you think Brady's an upgrade over Phillip Rivers?
I don't know.
I do.
I would think.
He's got an arm.
But don't you think that that's got to be a little strange? We have to get rid of this guy because he's too old, so let's bring in Tom Brady.
Details, details, details.
Yeah.
But I would say that Brady's an upgrade. Absolutely. The Chargers are going to go with Tyrod Taylor and probably a rookie quarterback for 2020. And I'm fine with that. So Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, Jameis Winston are probably going to be backups somewhere in the NFL. The question is, what does Belichick do? Does Belichick want either one, you know, either of those three, Cam, Andy Dalton, or Jameis Winston? I can't imagine Jameis Winston in a Patriot uniform. I just can't. Like, he would probably throw interceptions during warmups, you know. Defensive backs would swoop in and pick off a couple of his passes. Here's Albert Breer. The two teams involved, Buccaneers and Chargers, were both amenable to those conditions that Brady wanted. Two-year commitment, backed by guarantees. Ask was $60 million, but allowed for creativity. This wasn't all about money. He wanted to give his new team financial flexibility as well. The Houston Texans gave their side of the story with DeAndre Hopkins because DeAndre Hopkins gave his side of the story to Michael Irvin. We'll talk about that. More of your phone calls coming up next right here on the Dan Patrick Show.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Once again, it's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. GEICO.com.
What's happening, everybody? This is the official Lakers podcast. I'm your host, Mike Trudell. Super pumped to be here, flanked by Aaron Larstool. You ready to go?
I'm ready to go. Let's get it.
I think the Lakers will be a top 10 defense.
And you're calling your shot again. A team that has two stars, or two superstars in this case, as LeBron and AD, can sometimes cancel each other out. But I think they're both good candidates for MVP.
I really like the way that this team just feels to be around. Mm-hmm. It's a very clear message. It's two stars in LeBron and AD, and it's everybody else that's on board.
The relationship that is developing between those two off the court and on the court, their cohesiveness on the court, I think in this case, this is a special case that the two of them will enhance each other as opposed to taking away from each other.
Be sure to rate, subscribe, and leave a review.
Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Paulie says he's got a hot poll question.
Nice.
Yeah. What is your hot poll question for the final hour here?
Which one of the following players will be on the Buccaneers next season? Which one of the following players will be on the Buccaneers next season? Todd Gurley, Julian Edelman, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, Larry Fitzgerald. I think two of those will make it.
Two of those players will be, yeah, the Rams are trying to see if they can unload Todd Gurley's contract. I think Brandon Cooks is also another player they're looking at trying to unload his contract. Yeah, Rams need some help here because they're in salary cap hell there. Julian Edelman is going to turn 34. I just don't see Gronk coming back to play. Antonio Brown, he needs a home.
He might be the most likely out of that whole group. Yeah. Antonio Brown
got free time.
Yeah, I just if I'm Arizona and Larry Fitzgerald's playing 1 year, then like you don't need wide receivers. It'd be nice if Larry got a chance to play in a meaningful game. It's been a long time, but I see Antonio Brown as a possibility, and I don't know who is possibly looking at Todd Gurley. I haven't seen any reports of who the Rams are going to trade him to. Do they cut him? Because that may be what happens. They cut Todd Gurley. And it goes back to what I say about running backs. I mean, Derrick Henry was spectacular. I just don't want to pay him 4 or 5 years. I don't. Ezekiel Elliott, nice, unbelievable. But not now. I don't want to tie up that kind of money with my running back. And Carolina's probably going to get into that with Christian McCaffrey at some point. All right, I'm looking at these over-unders here, and I find it there are two teams, according to Vegas, double-digit wins over-under. Ravens at 11 over-under. Saints at 10, and I believe Kansas City at 11.5. So three teams have double-digit win totals, according to Vegas. I'm looking at the worst teams because somebody is going to be the worst team and have the opportunity to draft Trevor Lawrence. Bengals at 5. Jags at 5. Dolphins 6. Where are my Redskins? I know they're on here. Washington at 5. Those are your bad teams right now. The Browns are at 8 over under. Cowboys are 9.5. If there's anything else interesting on here. Packers, 9. Colts, 8.5, even with the addition of Phillip Rivers. Where are the Buccaneers? Buccaneers, 9. I don't know with Tommy. I'm going to go 9. I'm going to go over. I'm going to go 9.5 wins for the Buccaneers. I don't want to commit to 10. I'm going 9.5 wins. All right, so thanks to McLovin for sending those to me. Let me get a couple more phone calls in here. Phil in Colorado. Hey, Phil, what's on your mind?
Well, I was just thinking about the NCAA basketball tournament in 1983. I had the privilege of being in the pit in Albuquerque, 18,000-seat stadium, so it was real intimate.
Yeah.
First Saturday, Larry Brown sat right in front of me. And being from Colorado and having this former Denver Rocket, Denver Nugget coach sit in front of me was, I didn't think it could get any better.
Well, that's cool. I appreciate the phone call, Phil. Yeah. Albuquerque, New Mexico, when Jim Valvano was searching for somebody to hug after they won. I mentioned that there's some laundry here, some dirty laundry with DeAndre Hopkins and Bill O'Brien with the Texans, because we wondered, you know, why you make that trade. Well, I was told that they were making the trade, that DeAndre Hopkins was going to be traded in the offseason. Question is, where was he going? We thought that if you're going to trade him, that you're going to get equal value in return. And they didn't, in my opinion. Keep this in mind. DeAndre Hopkins, and he was letting people know, if I'm the best wide receiver in football, why am I not paid as the best wide receiver in football? Why is Julio Jones make, whatever, $8 to $10 million more than me? Well, the Texans are getting their side of the story out. Diana Russini had this tweet that Hopkins wanted $18 to $20 million. Now, you can argue, is he worth it? You know, are wide receivers worth it? It feels like you can find running backs and you can find wide receivers. Who is the most special wide receiver in the game? Julio Jones was a couple of years ago, but not now. Michael Thomas from New Orleans, you can make the case that he's as valuable to his team as anybody is. Hopkins is a great player, but $18 to $20 million, you're going to have to pay Deshaun Watson. You already paid J.J. Watt. Like, you're tied up in some contracts here. Let's see. The team told Hopkins, was told Hopkins was not showing up if he did not get that deal, so Houston moved on. I was, you know, told, as soon as this happened, I reached out to a source. I said, you know, help me understand this, and said, Bill O'Brien has the short fuse. And that DeAndre Hopkins was known as a PIA, pain in the ass. Now, still a great player, but that was the word, you know, on the street within NFL circles there. Then you got this story that came out with Michael Irvin saying DeAndre Hopkins told him he had to sit down with Bill O'Brien, and he's saying some things to Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien said, the last time I had this kind of conversation was with Aaron Hernandez. And I'm going, I don't know if DeAndre Hopkins has been involved in anything off the field. And then allegedly brought up that DeAndre Hopkins and his baby mamas. I'm thinking, oh, boy. Now, that's Michael Irvin who's saying that. DeAndre Hopkins then came out and said, hey, it's being blown out of proportion. He didn't say it wasn't true.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to know. Was it true? I mean, we do blow it out of proportion. But either tell me if it was said or not said. That's what I want to know. But Bill O'Brien has the short fuse. DeAndre Hopkins asking for that money. Hey, if you don't pay me the money, I'm not going to show up for camp. And then they decided to move on. You got to get more, it feels like, for DeAndre Hopkins. I don't know if Arizona knows this. Arizona agreed to do that. That, you know, if I'm DeAndre Hopkins and you send me to Arizona, hey, just so you know, I want to get this. And no, probably not the best way to walk into a new team, but if that's the case, then we're going to find out if DeAndre Hopkins is going to get his money. Who is the highest paid wide receiver? Is Julio Jones? And do we look at contracts with wide receivers the way we do quarterbacks where, hey, next man up gets more money? Because I don't think so. Quarterbacks we do. Running backs we have. But when it comes to wide receivers, yeah, Paulie.
Odell, $18 million. Mike Evans, $16 million. Hopkins, $16 million. Michael Thomas is up there now. He's at 18 and over 18.
And where's Julio?
Checking on it.
Hmm. Well, OBJ is overpaid. Thomas he's extremely valuable. It feels like you can get these receivers somewhere. And you got a lot of receivers coming in this draft as well. Yeah, Paul.
Julio Jones, it's all over the place, his money. This year he's going to make, between bonuses, everything, I got him at $18.5 million. Okay.
Yeah, so, and what was Hopkins making before this? Was he making?
Like 14.
Oh, okay. I mean, come on. He's not underpaid that much. And if you want a new, he's 27. How many more years did he have on this contract? Because if I'm Houston and he had like 2 years left, then I'd say, easy here. Yeah, Paul.
Yeah, he had 3 years left on his deal.
Well, come on.
At $12 million, $13 million, $14
million. Yeah, come on. Yeah, I understand. Look, get something in return that can help you. Not a running back who probably won't even start for you. Yeah. All right. A couple more phone calls in here. Christy in New York joins us. Hi, Christy.
Hi, Dan. How are you this morning?
Great. Great.
Good. Good. I wanted to share, well, first time, long time. I got 59135. Wanted to share my favorite NCAA moment, which was in 1998 in the Final Four. And unfortunately, my running youth with Rick Majerus lost against Kentucky in the Wildcats.
All right. I love Rick Majerus. God rest his soul. Thank you, Christy. Keith Van Horn was on that team. Didn't they have, like, Michael Doliak?
Ooh, nice.
Was that his name? And didn't they have Andre Miller? Was that his name? The guard?
You're crushing this.
Yeah.
Hanna Matola or whatever.
Oh. Hanna Matola.
He's a fan of the show, by the way. I get notes from him.
Well, of course he is.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course. Why wouldn't he be a fan of the show? Todd. Hi, Todd. Todd in North Carolina joining us. Hi, Todd.
Hey, Dan. It's good to talk to you again.
Thank you, Todd.
One of my favorite recollections, and this is dating me, it wasn't actually the NCAA tournament, but it was the ACC tournament in 74. NC State beat Maryland in triple overtime back when only one team could go to the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
If Maryland had won that game, David Thompson and Tommy Burleson wouldn't have played UCLA, and UCLA may have ended up with another NCAA championship.
That's a great call. Thank you, Todd. I love David Thompson. He was spectacular. He was. That's one of the first guys I saw where at 6'4", he could take on big men. And, you know, David missed out on the TV era, but he was so exciting. And I remember that NC State game against UCLA, and UCLA just goofed around and let NC State hang around. And then NC State with Norm Sloan, I believe, is their head coach. But beat UCLA with Bill Walton, and that was a good UCLA team. But David Thompson was unbelievable. He was one of my favorite college players. Now, that's when you watch a guy jump and you go, oh, my God. Now, there's guys who can leap, but David Thompson, I think his vertical was 44, 45 inches. Bob in Florida. Hey, Bob, what do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan, 6'3", 242. So I got two games. One was the Butler Duke Gordon Hayward flip out on a bank shot at the end, and the other one is not a tournament game. Was you just talked about UCLA in '74, and that would be Notre Dame upsetting UCLA and breaking the 88 game win streak.
Yep. That was a rough day because I was a big UCLA fan growing up, and I don't know why, other than I guess because I'm like any other kid. Hey, let me root for the team that always wins. But I just that UCLA went into Notre Dame, and Digger Phelps did a great job. Digger Phelps, an actually underrated college coach, Hall of Famer, great coach, and loved taking on John Wooden. Yeah, Paul.
If we're going to bring up the topic of NCAA tournament pain, as a youngster in Chicago, I liked DePaul University basketball when they're really good. They went into the tournament a couple times, I think, undefeated. In 81, they had Mark Aguirre. They were undefeated, number one overall seed in the tournament. And you know this, they lost to St. Joseph's because a player for DePaul missed a few free throws late in the game.
I was at the game. The University of Dayton Arena.
Yeah, at the Dayton Arena. And didn't Mark Aguirre walk back to the hotel in his uniform?
He got the ball out of the net. I think it was a guy named John Smith from St. Joe's who made a layup at the buzzer. And the story was Mark Aguirre got the ball out of the net and walked out of the arena, full uniform, and walked back to the Marriott, which is about a mile or so away. But that was always the story, you know, because they came in as the number one team. Because you had Clyde Bradshaw, Terry Cummings, You had a stacked team there. Ray Meyer. Yeah, boy.
And the kid who missed the free throws for DePaul was named Skip Dillard.
Yeah.
He was one of the leading free throw shooters in the country and led DePaul that year. I don't remember it. It doesn't. No. It's not as full of my heart. Oh, God.
It doesn't hurt that much anymore.
Wild.
Nick in Rhode Island joins us. Hi, Nick. What do you have for me today?
Hey, Dan. What's up, man? Long-time fan. So I got a couple games that are of recent timing. I was born in 1990, so this is the Millennials classic. 2008 National Championship, Kansas versus Memphis. Memphis was basically had the game locked up. They choked it away. Derrick Rose missed some free throws. Mario Chalmers tied it up, brought it into overtime. That was classic. For some reason, I don't think it gets talked about enough, probably because Memphis vacated all their wins.
That's true.
Another one was 2010. I think it was Xavier, Kansas State. There was double overtime, Sweet 16. I know Jordan Hamilton or Jordan Crawford hit like a game tying three. That was crazy. That was another one.
All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for the phone call there, Nick. Yeah, they're. It's interesting though what games resonate with certain fans. But I was just talking about the Duke Kentucky game. That's the best game I ever saw. Now, not the most important one, because Texas Western beating Kentucky in 66 was the most important game, along with UCLA against Houston in a primetime game at the Astrodome. Because I don't think a basketball game had ever been played in a venue that large. Because, coaches back then, they wanted an intimate setting. They wanted to have a home court advantage. And now, look at Rupp Arena. That's 24,000 in there. I don't know if there's a bigger arena that's used by a team on a regular basis like Rupp Arena. You know, Duke, you go to Cameron Indoor, that's a home court advantage. Like that's what the coaches used to want. You wanted that intimacy there. You want the fans right on the court. And now, we kind of sterilized a lot of college basketball. You know, even Madison Square Garden, there is a home court advantage. There's an intimacy to the garden. But still, that's probably 18,000-19,000 that you put in there for college basketball games. More phone calls coming up. Imagine being invited to an old-timers game, and you're not old. That story's next here on The Dan Patrick Show.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you can save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com. Once again, it's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today, GEICO.com. Hey, listeners, just wanted to take a minute to thank all our great sponsors and all of you great listeners for supporting this podcast. We certainly couldn't do it without either of you. And I wanted to remind you that you can support our sponsors by going to our show page at podcastone.com. Clicking on the Support This Podcast button, and there you will see all our wonderful sponsors that help make this show possible. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, and, of course, supporting. And now, back to the show.
Imagine you're invited to an old-timers game, and you're 33 years of age. That happened to Phil Hughes. It's unclear who is the youngest retired Yankee to ever participate in an old-timers game, but Hughes would probably be the youngest. The Yankees actually have 7 players on their roster that are older than Phil Hughes. You got one guy who's 40, and then you got a couple of guys who are 37, a couple of 34. But Phil Hughes at the age of 33... Could you show up for an old-timers game and then they actually ask you to pitch a couple of innings? Gosh, 33 years of age. Is Phil Hughes is out of baseball?
Phil Hughes has only been out of baseball for like 18 months. He was on a roster pitching in 2018. He's probably like bounced around the minor league somewhere.
He gets something in the mail from the Yankees. He's like, the Yankees, hey, they're reaching out to me. Would you like to come to our old-timers game? I think they need somebody to pitch. I think that's what it is. You know, you want to get somebody out there who's young who can throw. All right, a couple more phone calls. By the way, audience did a great job with the greatest college games and memorable games for you, because today would have been the opening of the tournament here. Scott in Minnesota joins us. Hi, Scott. What do you have for me?
Big Dan, 5'8", 225. I think back to 1989, the battle in Seattle, Flying Illini versus Michigan. Illinois had just beat Michigan twice in the regular season. About 2 weeks before on senior night in Michigan, I think they won by about 17.
Sean Higgins?
You got it. Sean Higgins hitting that shot with 1 second left, gets the rebound over Nick Anderson, puts it back up. And those teams had, you know, Kendall Gill and Kenny Battle and Nick Anderson and Steve Bartle for Illinois, and you had Glenn Rice and Ramil Robinson and Loy Vaught and Sean Higgins for Michigan. That was a hell of a game.
Yeah, it was, and a lot of great talent. Thanks for the phone call. But, yeah, guys who were staying 3 and 4 years. Like, those days are long gone. We're not going to have those where you have that much talent stay for that amount of time. Yeah, Paul.
Any chance, though, the NCAA could be in a weird way better if they get rid of the one-and-done rule and the 5 or 6 best high school players go directly to the pros?
But I don't think you can make kids stay in college basketball.
You couldn't do a rule like...
I don't think so. Like, that's what I would hope they would do, is if you go to college, you have to stay a minimum of 2 years. But I don't think that that's going to happen. I don't know if they can do that legally. I mean, maybe, but who knows with the NCAA. McLovin, are you back with us?
I'm back via phone, old school technology. I'm not going to let go of these poll results, Dan.
Okay.
I am the poll result guy.
Okay.
So who is most likely to be a Buck next season? Julian Edelman, 37%. Then Antonio Brown, 33%.
Okay. Thank you, McLovin. All right. We'll come back to you for what you learned today. Paulie, this day in sports history.
This day in sports history, Dan. 1966, the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship. Texas Western beats Kentucky. Miners got their first ever title. Mm-hmm. And also this day in sports history, Michael Jordan returned to the Chicago Bulls after 2 years of retirement, almost 2 years. He scored 19 in a loss to Reggie Miller and the Pacers. Marvelous Marv Albert on the call.
Yeah, Mike didn't have a good game. I like how we make it seem like Mike hit every game-winning shot. You know, he never had bad games. Because when LeBron does this, it's like, oh, Michael never would have done that. Michael never did that.
I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Yeah, I know. Michael, LeBron does it all the time. Michael never did that.
Hot, 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 hot.
Yeah. Ted in Florida joins us. Hi, Ted.
Yeah, ADC. I was at the UK Texas Western game at College Park, Maryland. That was the team that Pat Riley played on.
Yes, he jumped center. Yeah, Riles jumped center.
He could out-jump Thad Juraz, who is our playing center. But, the game was key for several reasons. Remember, the very next year, they outlawed dunking because they saw the way Texas Western played. They outlawed dunking. You had to take the ball up over the rim and drop it through.
I thought that they did that because of – now, did they – and thanks for the phone call, Ted. Good for you. I have a memory like that. Did they allow Wilt Chamberlain to dunk when he was in Kansas because – Lou Alcindor wasn't allowed to dunk at UCLA. Yeah, Paul.
If you watch the Kansas highlights with Wilt Chamberlain, it appears that dunking wasn't a thing yet. I know it had happened earlier, but if you watch him, he finger rolls a lot of stuff in. He used the backboard and he used a lot of finger rolling.
Well, they called him the Big Dipper, which I always found kind of an interesting nickname, the Big Dipper. Then he was Wilt the Stilt. But, yeah, I think that actually not having the dunk helped Lou Alcindor. He developed that sky hook. And or perfected it. And if not, then he probably would have done. You know, Wilt never had a good shot. He never had a signature shot. He just powered right by everybody. Andrew in North Dakota. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, how's it going, Dan? 6'2½, 210. I have a great basketball memory and then a suggestion from McLovin for maybe tomorrow on a poll question. Poll question would be, does Tom Brady take Chris Godwin's number 12?
Yes.
Or does he take number 10 and go back to his Michigan days?
No. He's got to do TB12. He's got to have 12.
He's got to be TB12, right? But, I mean, he may want to flip the page. He may want to have a new chapter and get away from Belichick and the Patriots.
No, you don't want to rebrand. But thank you, Andrew. Yeah, if I'm Chris Godwin, I send it to Brady right now. I meet him at the airport when he comes in. Brady's going to want number 12. And you know what? Maybe he'll make a nice donation to Chris Godwin charity there or something. Bobby in Ohio. Hi, Bobby. Hey, Bobby. See you, Bobby. Charlie Weiss, former Patriots offensive coordinator, was on with our buddy Jason Smith, and he had this to say about Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers better be ready for a change in the locker room of leadership by a veteran player like this, because this guy will be on a mission. He's always had a chip on his shoulders. In his entire career, I've had to deal with him and his chip on his shoulder. And trust me, that chip didn't get any smaller, him leaving New England. As a matter of fact, the chip might have gotten even bigger.
That's Charlie Weiss on the Jason Smith Show. The reason why I love the Buccaneers so much this year, six of Tampa Bay's nine losses last year came by 8 points or less. In the six losses, in six of those losses, Jameis Winston had a total of 12 turnovers. So all you got to do is clean it up, and you're going to be a playoff team. Yeah, Paul.
This just in, Dan, from Adam Schefter. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have agreed to terms with wide receiver Bryant Mitchell on a one-year deal.
Oh, sorry. Well, thank you. That great build-up there, knucklehead.
Agreed with wide receiver Brian
Antonio. Todd, what did you learn on today's program?
I learned that McLovin is here in L.A. may be running out of nails, thus making it a challenge to finish building that new NFL stadium.
Yeah. McLovin, what did you learn today?
Chris Mannix is keeping the order-in waffle business alive.
Seton O'Connor Jr. III.
Yeah, Chris Mannix, grown man, has waffles delivered to his house.
He can't cook.
Waffles.
Can't cook. Who has waffles delivered? Anybody can make waffles.
Waffles.
Paulie, what did you learn?
You and Fritzy have the same matching sweatsuit outfits today. You look like you're in some type of doomsday cult.
I know.
But too bad we never got around to that topic.
I know.
Looking sharp.
Yep. Seton says, looks like you've given up.
And now you get it, don't you?
Yep.
Podcast One has some exciting news. It's official. Our shows are now available on Spotify. And it's free. We want to make it super easy for you and your friends to listen to our podcast. And joining Spotify allows us to be in even more places for fans to find us. If you're already listening to music on Spotify, you can now listen to our podcast in the same place. If you're not on Spotify yet, all you have to do is download the free app. That's right, no credit card necessary, and simply search for our shows to start listening.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino. You wouldn't expect to hear that we're America's third best city for beer like this one. Or home to vibes like this. And this. It might surprise you that we're top 10 for immersive art that's like,
whoa.
And, not to mention, we have one of the top zoos in the country. So can a city with the country's best pro soccer team, ranking as a top culinary destination in the world, be in your own backyard? Yes, Columbus. Plan your summer at experiencecolumbus.com/summer.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.